Amazing grace shall always be my song of praise, for it was great that brought my liberty. I do not why he came to love me so. He looked beyond all my faults, and he saw my needs. Amazing praise, for it was grace that brought my liberty. I do not so, for he looked beyond all my faults, and he saw my needs, and I shall
Amen. Somebody said amazing grace. Amen. Come on, put those hands together and bless Jesus today. Amen. I don't know about you, but I'm excited about being in the house of the Lord. And I get even more excited in the time of baptism as we celebrate people who have decided to accept Jesus as their Lord and Savior. The scripture says that in heaven, the angels start rejoicing at just one. Just one. They just have a whole party up there celebrating one giving their life to the Lord. And this morning we celebrated four giving their lives to the Lord. So somebody ought to give God a great big praise. Amen. For people coming to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Let us just look to the Lord. Father, we thank you and we give you praise for this time, God, to share your word. Lord, I've studied and I've prepared, but I need your strength and your power. Now, God, I ask that you consecrate me now for thy service, Lord, by the power of grace divine. May my soul look up with a steadfast hope and my will be lost in thine. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us all say amen. Come on, put your hands together and bless the Lord this morning. We thank God for our musicians and our praise team that have led us so wonderfully this morning, and we thank God for them. Amen. We thank God for the reading of our scripture, which is Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 5. I just want to go through those verses very quickly and really just read verses 1 then 2. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, somebody say faith. We have peace, somebody say peace, with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access, say access, by faith. In this grace wherein we stand, rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. I want to read that one more time. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith in this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, do you have your access card? Do you have your access card? Get the other neighbor, make sure they understand the message this morning, and say, neighbor, do you have your access card? You know, I had to go through an educational process in dealing with this message this morning. I understand that there is this thing out there called an access card, And what the access card does, it gives you the ability to access certain benefits that you are, quote unquote, entitled to because of a certain state of economic standing that you may be in. The Pennsylvania Access Card is an industry standard plastic card with a magnetic strip on the back that provides recipients with either access to cash, food stamps, and/or medical benefits. Recipients have their access to these benefits, food stamp benefits through point of sale, terminals, and authorized food stores. They can access their cash assistance through POS terminals and ATMs, better known as automated teller machines. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. Recipients can even verify their eligibility for Medicaid through online eligibility verification systems, otherwise known as EVS. Now, it's my understanding that in order to receive one of these benefits or all of them, you have to meet some eligibility requirements. There's some requirements that you have to meet. I found out that I'm not eligible. For some reason, they just didn't let me apply, try to apply, but it just didn't work out. Apparently, that I make just a little bit too much more than the requirements. And they said that I'm not eligible for these requirements. So my understanding of the system is the first thing that you have to meet some eligibility requirements, either through disability, old age, or limit of economic resources. Maybe you have some children. There are some reasons why you would have what is called an access card. The second thing is that they just don't pass these cards out as they go down the street. You can't just walk up, can I get an access card, and they just pass it to you. My understanding is there is what is called an application process. They check you out to make sure that you are eligible to receive this card. There has to be a need, a bona fide need, that you actually need this, and this access to benefits will help you get by or able to survive in this society. Well, in our message this morning, we want to talk about the access card that we need in order to experience the grace and glory of God in our life. I want to repeat that. We want to talk about the access card that we need in order to experience the grace and glory of God in our life. Let's look at the first verse of Romans, the fifth chapter. And it begins by saying, therefore, having been justified, therefore being justified. The first thing that we must understand that in order to receive the grace and glory of God in our life, there has to be a need. There has to be a need. There has to be a need for justification in order for justification to really work. Now, how many people here need to be justified? Amen. Somebody, please raise your hand. Pretend like you know what I'm talking about. The idea of justification, and we go through this in New Congregants class. That means that if you didn't raise your hand, you can go through that class. But justification, remember, is the judicial act of God that is placed on his son in place for you so that you might have the right to everlasting life. That by you accepting Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, says is that you have been justified, just as if you had not sinned. Now, if you have sinned, that means that you have a need to be justified. There are two reasons for justification. The first reason for justification, or the need, or the eligibility requirements have to be fulfilled, is that one, we understand because of Adam's sin. Because of Adam's sin, it has nothing to do with you. Because of the original sin that Adam committed in the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve committed in the Garden of Eden, we have a need to be justified. Because of the fact that Adam was disobedient to God, the nature of sin and the penalty of sin was passed upon everybody. It had nothing to do with you. You were born with it. You inherited it. You know what? I was thinking about my mama. My mama, and I look at pictures of her often. I look at her feet. Her feet. And there's some things that I have inherited from my mother, and one of them is a bad set of feet. I inherited these things, and my wife will tell you she does not like to touch them. She does not like to look at them. They all crack and cruddy, got toe jam and all that stuff. But she does not like my feet. I inherited that. No matter how much I lotion them, no matter what I do, they are still an ugly pair of dogs. And I inherited this. When you were born with an inheritance from Adam called sin. It was given to you. Matter of fact, if you read Psalms, the 51st chapter, David says, I was born in sin and iniquity. I was born in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. I was made this way. I was created this way. And because of Adam's disobedience to God, you were made in the likeness of Adam, or made in a sinful state. In Romans, the 5th chapter, verse 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Because of Adam's sin, everybody here is eligible. Everybody here is eligible for the benefit of justification. So therefore, we need it. Now, the second reason why we have to be justified is not just because of Adam's sin, but also because of our committed sin. How many people have sinned today? Anybody sinned at some point in your life? The rest of y'all really lying, because it, I mean, I know I messed up. I know I stepped outside of his will, outside of his word. Matter of fact, I know I've done some things that even when he told me not to do it, I wind up doing it anyway. Paul says that in this flesh findeth no good thing. The things that I would desire to do, I find myself not doing. And the things that I'm not supposed to do, I find myself doing anyway. I constantly mess up. I'm trying to get better, but in my process of getting better, I'm still slipping or doing things outside of God's will and making some choices. Matter of fact, Romans 3 and 23, it says for all. Anybody part of all? Who's part of all here? The rest of y'all part of in some other world out in Pluto or Saturn. Matter of fact, y'all out in Pluto where there's really not even a planet anymore. You have to understand that all of us, that means everybody, that means tall, short, skinny, not so skinny, old, young, everybody has sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have stepped outside of God's will at some point, and therefore you are eligible to have access to to God's justification and his forgiveness that he has granted through the death of his son on Calvary. Can somebody say amen? Amen. Just lift your hand and say, I'm eligible. I'm eligible. I'm eligible to receive the benefits that God has given us. Now, not only is there eligibility requirements, but there is also an application process. Somebody say an application process. You have to apply for the access card. You have to apply for the access card in order to initiate benefits through faith. Romans, the fifth chapter in our text, in our fifth chapter, the first verse, it says, therefore, being justified by faith. Somebody say faith. In order to apply for the benefits that justification releases to you, you have to have faith in God. Now, our initial contact with Christ requires us to have faith, because in order to receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you have to have faith. You have to have faith in Jesus Christ. You have to believe that he died for your sins, that he was buried in a borrowed tomb, that he got up with all power in his hands, and that he's coming back. You have to believe. You have to have faith in Jesus. You have to believe that he is King and Lord of your life, and you crown him as ruler over you. You have to believe that. That takes what is called an act of faith. We read a scripture every Sunday morning. Every time that we open this place, we always read John 3:16. It says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Now, there's one phrase in there that is very important. Believe in him. There is a substantial difference in believing something will happen and believing in something. When you believe something will happen, you are counting on the possibility or the practicability of something occurring. It's possible. That means you kind of hoping for the thing, but it may or may not happen. But when you believe in something, you entrust your life with that something or someone. Let me come a little closer. Anybody ever have a relationship with the opposite sex? Hopefully it was with the opposite sex and not with the same sex. But you had a relationship with the opposite sex. And you ever hear a young lady say that, you know what, I put my trust in you. That or God sometimes even says it to a lady, I put my trust in you. And what they are saying is that I have invested myself to the degree that if you fail me, I'm going to be messed up. And what that is that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior and you believe in him, what you are doing is investing your life in him and rendering it over to him for the purpose of his use and his will. And if he backs out on you, you will be literally messed up. I'm glad today that I know for a fact that I have entrusted my life with him, but I'm glad not like your boyfriend or your girlfriend. Jesus ain't going to slip out on the side, but he's going to stay with you to the end. The songwriter says, and he walks with me and talks with me and tells me that I'm his own, and the joy we share as we tarry that no other cannot know. I'm glad that Jesus is with me and I believe in him, and therefore, because of the fact that I have accepted him as Lord and Savior of my life, I now have access to him by faith. What does verse 2 say? Verse 2 of Romans, the fifth chapter, when we look at that text, it says, by who also we have access by faith. You got to have faith. You got to believe this thing with everything that you got. Now, I don't care what nobody else tells me. I don't care what Muhammad said, Confucius says, Hare Krishna says. I believe that Jesus died. I believe that he rose again. I believe that he's coming back. And not only believe it, I believe that he did it for me. That if there was nobody else here on earth, Jesus would have died. And I'm glad that he died for me. And because I believe that, I have access by faith. Somebody say by faith. See, what happens is that when you accept him, you initiate access. You remember when we were talking about the access card? And the access card, you initiate your benefits by applying. But there's a statement on the back of the card. If you ever read the back of the access card, and I'm sure some of you have, it says that if you use this card in a way or abuse the privileges that have been given to you, you will be tried for civil, not only civil penalties, but also criminal penalties, and you can lose the benefits or access to the benefits. You still have the card, but you're not getting the benefits. You're not getting the joy. You're not getting the peace. You don't get the things that come along with the benefits that has already been designated to your life. You're going to get this in a second. There is a difference. There is a difference between having a relationship with God and being related. David and Jonathan. You've heard me say this analogy before. David and Jonathan are my sons. They will always be my boys. David and Jonathan, they bear the name David Christopher Jenkins and Jonathan Brian Jenkins. They are my boys. I no matter what, they look like me. They stroll like me. David's nose is starting to get big like mine. But they are my boys. They are Jenkins boys. And no matter what they do, no matter what they say, they'll always be my boys. They are related to me. But a relationship is something that they're kind of in fellowship with me, that they're walking with me. They're kind of listening what I said. They might not do everything I ask them to do, but they're in good fellowship. And as they get older, there becomes a point in time where a parent and a child can lose relationship, but they're still related. See, what happens is that when you step outside of God's will, even though that you have applied for the benefits, you have received the benefits, you lose the joy of the benefits that have been accessed through faith. You're going to get this in 1 second. Let's look real quickly, amen, at Ephesians. Where are we going? Here we go. Hebrews 11 chapter verse 6. Hebrews the 11 chapter verse 6. It says that without faith, it is impossible to please him. For him that cometh unto God must believe that he is. He must initiate the benefits. And he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So you remember, to initiate the benefits and to get access, to get the access card, you have to have faith. But in order to continue to enjoy the benefits, you have to continue in faith. You have to continue to walk with him. I had trouble understanding before how someone could accept Jesus Christ and have a frown on their face and have so much that they're just weighed down, that they just can't handle life, that they're struggling with everything. Every time a storm come their way, it just knocks them over and they just can't handle it. And the reason why is because although they have access the benefits, they cannot enjoy the benefits because they are not continuing in the faith. They're not trying to live holy. They're not trying to seek God. They're not praying like they ought to. They're not reading God's word like they ought to. But you have to continue in the faith. You have to continue believing. Yes, faith initiates your benefits, but in order to continue in the benefits, continue to receive the joy of the benefits, continue to walk in his love, continue to walk in his anointing, you got to walk in faith, because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And if you're not in his word, if you're not in his way, you cannot enjoy the benefits that God has destined for your life through faith. Somebody ought to say amen. Oh, come on, put those hands together and bless his name. I don't know about you, but I got an access card. I got an access card. Well, in getting the access card, there are benefits that you are able to withdraw, that you are able to get from God because you have made access through faith. Well, what are these benefits? The first one is found in the first verse of the fifth chapter. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. The first thing it says, we have peace with God. What is this peace with God? Peace with God says that we now have right standing with him. We have right, somebody turn to your neighbor and says, we have right standing with him. We have peace with God. In the 10th verse of the 5th chapter, it says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God
by the death of his son. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. What happens is that when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, before that, you are an enemy of God. I don't care what all those people say on TV talking about God loves everybody. God loved everybody by giving his son, but those that have not accepted him, you are an enemy of God. That's what the text says. I didn't write that. It says enemy. It got up on the screen, enemy. You are an enemy of God. But when we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. There are two parts of reconciliation. Christ already did his part. You have to understand that when Adam sinned, it separated man from God, and God turned his back on man and went that way, and man turned his back on God and went that way. It was a breakup of the relationship that he had established with man, and no longer was man related at all to God. He was separated from God. But then God sent his son from glory, and God turned himself around, and he reconciled himself to man. But you got to understand that man is still walking in a state of disobedience and running away from God. God has reconciled himself to us, but man has not reconciled himself to God. Let's look at 2 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, in the 18:20. It's going to make it very clear to you. It says, "And all things are of God, who have reconciled himself by Jesus Christ." Now, if you look at verse 20, it says, "Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as through God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, you be reconciled to God." There is two parts of the reconciliation process. God reconciled himself to us, which he has already done. But we have to reconcile ourselves to him by accepting him as Lord and Savior of his life. And then that forms a relationship and a bond that we have access by faith through grace and believing in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The first thing that we have to have is peace with God. When you have received your access card, you have initiated a benefit called peace with God. As you continue in faith, you will continue to have peace with God. Can somebody say amen? Amen. What's the second thing? The second thing that we receive is grace. Somebody say grace. Amen. Romans, the 5th chapter, 2nd verse, it says, "By whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand." There's an acronym that I love to use. It is GRACE, God's redemption at Christ's expense. I'm going to repeat that. GRACE is God's redemption at Christ's expense. GRACE is the favor of God that has been extended to us through faith in him. Now, it's in this grace of God that has been extended to us by which we are able to stand. You're going to get this. You're able to stand. When someone is standing, if you ever see a soldier and they say, "Attention," and they stand, they are standing in the stead of confidence. And when you have accepted Jesus Christ, I don't care what you've done in the past, even what you're doing right now, even some of the bad thoughts that some of y'all are thinking right now. When you have accepted Jesus Christ, you know what? You can come to attention and stand in confidence. And say, "I know my Redeemer liveth. I know I messed up along the way. I know I had some things that I've stepped outside of God's will, but I can stand in confidence because of the grace of God that I have access through faith by believing in the Lord Jesus Christ." Not only do you have peace with God, but you have grace. You have the grace of God that has been extended to you. It is a state of mind and a state of being that has been extended to you because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. But not only will this grace sustain you in your mortal body while you're here, grace also is extended to you that at the time of judgment, you will also be able to stand. Let's look at Psalms, the first chapter and the 5th verse. Psalms, the 1st chapter and the 5th verse. It says, "Therefore the ungodly shall not what? Stand. The ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous." What this is saying is that, one, if you are an unbeliever, when the time of judgment comes, you are not going to be able to stand and deal with the judgment, but you're going to be knocked off your tail and thrown in the fire. However, those that have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, not only will the grace of God sustain you in this life, the grace of God will sustain you at the time of judgment, because of the fact that we cannot earn our eternal life. We cannot make it into heaven by ourselves, but because we have access grace through faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, we have been extended a benefit because of our need, and therefore we have the grace of God that has been given to us by faith. Somebody say grace. The first thing that we receive, the benefit, is the peace with God. The second thing is grace. I love that song, Amazing Grace, Amazing Grace. And that third verse, it says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Twas grace that brought me safe this far, and grace will lead me home. It's not only going to sustain me, but it's going to get me out of here into a place where the wicked shall cease from troubling and the weary shall be at rest. Well, what is the third benefit? There's three benefits that we receive by having our access card through faith. The third thing is the glory of God. The glory of God. Romans 5:2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, what happens is that the Holy Spirit comes and indwells in you, and the presence of God overshadows you. You ever see somebody going down the street and you know that they saved, and it just looks like they're just glowing and the glory of God overshadows them? They don't receive glory or praise from us, but we look at them and we see the presence and the glory of God has overshadowed them, and a change has taken place. And we say, oh, that must be the glory of God. It's the presence of God, the overshadowing of his presence dwelling upon you, that causes you to be able to still have joy when everything ain't going right. It causes you to have peace when confusion is all around you. It causes you to have favor when everything else is against you, because of the fact of the glory of God. There's some benefits that you have to access. Psalms 84:11, it says, the Lord God is the sun and shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will he withhold from those who walk uprightly. The benefits are truth. The benefits are real. The peace of God, the grace of God, and the glory of God can be shadowed on your life, but these benefits will continue to be accessed as you continue to have faith in him. The initial access caused you to be able to be not only eligible, but the benefits can be designated in your name. But to continue in these benefits and to enjoy them, you have to continue in the faith in Christ. Does it change that you are related to God? No, it does not change that. But you know what? Life will be a whole lot more easier that if you continue in the faith, if you continue in the ways of God, living after his word and doing his will. Well, what is the access card? I know you've been waiting for that. What is the access card? The access card is Jesus Christ. Let's look at that first verse very quickly. It says, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That is our access card. You know, there was an old commercial years ago that said, when E.F. Hutton talks, people listen. And all you had to say is E.F. Hutton, and everybody would, shh, E.F. Hutton is about to talk. But see, when you have Jesus Christ in your life, he is your access card. You know, there's a lot of things that MasterCard can buy, but there's a lot of things that MasterCard can't buy. And peace with God, you can't charge it. The grace of God, you can't charge it. The glory of God, you can't charge it. But you can have access to these benefits. And every last one of us need these benefits because of the fact of Adam's original sin and our committed sin that we have done and are doing. But right now, God has given you access by faith through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Somebody put your hands together and praise God for his word today. Jesus Christ loves you today. He died for your sins.
The Bible says in John 3:16 that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him that applies for these benefits shall not perish but have everlasting life. In Romans, the 10th chapter, the 9th and 10th verses says, if you confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised Jesus from the dead, you will be saved. That's God's promise to you. With everyone standing on your feet, I just believe today that there's somebody here that does not know Jesus. You haven't got your access card. You're out there without benefits, and you have a need in your life to be saved. I'm going to tell you right now that if you've never accepted Jesus, you have a need. You don't have to ponder upon that. The question is today is that will you apply for the benefits? The benefits are available. They're free. They have been given to you. You don't have to work for them. You don't have to apply for them, but you do got to apply. And if you want to access these benefits, just come on down. If you want to accept Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, you need to come on down. The price is right. It's been paid on Calvary. Just come on down right now. Come on, put your hands together because somebody's going to come. Come on. Somebody needs Jesus as Lord of their life.